Hello, friends. You're listening to Elena.
And this is Candace.
And you are listening to Cousins on Crime. Candace, you had mentioned to me that you got more information about that crime scene cleanup.
Do you ever say something and then think, and then like later that night you're like, was that true? I mean, talking about the crime scene cleanup was not in my notes, so I didn't research it ahead of time. I just was kind of talking out of my butt. But as I was editing episode 3 and talking about how you have to get your own crime scene cleanup, I was like, is that true? Maybe I need to cut that out if that's not true. So I Googled it and it is true. And the reason is when there's a murder, or just think if someone shoots themselves in the head, right? That blood spray, there are bloodborne pathogens in the air. So it's actually biohazardous material, and it's
Oh, that makes a
not,
lot of
yeah,
sense.
and it's not just the blood that needs to be cleaned up. They actually have to do something with the air in whatever space it was.
Sanitizing.
Yeah, so
Okay.
anyway, really morbid and interesting, but again, like I still don't know how the police direct people to that, but I do know that once the police gather their evidence in a home, they clear it and they leave it that way because police, they don't keep the adequate supplies. Like, so, anyways, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So it seems like it would take a special person to go into a scene like that and clean it up. So thank you to the people that do that.
And just FYI, if you Google this, you will come across a bunch of videos of people cleaning up crime scenes.
Oh,
And if you're as
wow.
sick as me, you might click on one of those.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. Thanks for the warning, 'cause okay, well, on to today's episode.
I'm excited. Ooh.
Yeah, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
So we're talking about Ashley Harris today. I did mention to you before that I wanted to do this case, and she was a friend of a friend, so it's kind of close to home, and I just hope
Yeah.
that I honor her well and that it's respectful to the family. Okay, so it was the morning of the 28th of November, 2014. This was Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. If you've never heard of Black Friday, it marks the beginning of the Christmas shopping season on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You can find special deals and big markdowns. Candace, do you remember partaking in the Black Friday festivities when we were kids?
We used to always go Black Friday shopping. I mean, we would eat Thanksgiving dinner, we would like nap on Grammy's floor, and then we would wait till whatever time it was and then go literally line up. It's not like that anymore. And if you're across the pond or in another country, I don't know if you guys have any things like this, but yeah, Black Friday w used to be a really big thing for us, but ever since social media and
Internet shopping.
exactly internet shopping, but yes, it used to be so much fun.
Yeah, it would get crazy. Crowds everywhere, people fighting over things that were hard to get.
Yes. Yeah. And they literally had doorbusters.
Yeah.
You know, they would only have like three TVs that were $50, and if you weren't in line at the front of the line, you didn't get one of those TVs. It's not like
Right.
online shopping today.
Right. So on that day in 2014, neighbors at the River Ranch apartment complex in Fort Worth, Texas, called 911 to report an apartment that was on fire.
Oh, that's scary.
Yes, the apartment on fire was number 1505 or 1505, and it belonged to 31-year-old Ashley Ann Harris. She lived there with her dog, Nala.
Oh, Nala.
So Ashley Harris worked on November 27th from 5:30 p.m. to 3:12 a.m. She was a manager at American Eagle, so she was getting the store ready for the Black Friday event.
Right.
She arrived home around 3:40 a.m. on the 28th. A friend of hers, Alexis Torres Bunch, came over. Alexis normally took care of Ashley's dog Nala when she worked. Her friend left around 4:45 a.m. and Ashley locked the door behind her. At 6:56 a.m., Alexis noticed a missed call from Ashley, and she tried to call Ashley back about 2 or 3 minutes later, but Ashley didn't pick up. Okay, so Patrick Sweet, Ashley's downstairs neighbor, was lying in bed when he heard a loud scream.
Ooh.
He had looked at his alarm to see that it was 7:30 a.m. When you hear loud noises outside,
I always do
yeah,
that.
I look at the clock to say, okay, if I need to tell the police what time I heard that sound, I need to know.
That is so funny. I was just the other night something happened and I was like, okay, 3:53. Like
Yes.
precisely at 3:53.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
No.
So, yeah, he looked at his clock. It was 7:30 a.m. He heard a loud thump right above him as Ashley's bedroom was directly above his.
Jeez.
Yes, next he heard what sounded like heavy, labored breathing. Patrick heard Ashley's front door open and close, and when he went to investigate, when he looked out the window, he saw a black Infiniti G35 driving away. Patrick saw Ashley's truck in its parking space and thought that maybe she had someone come pick her up for work. So he went to lay back down and he tried to fall asleep, but that's when the carbon monoxide detector went off. He got back up.
Jeez.
All
That's,
these weird events
yeah.
happening. So he gets back up to find the cause and then noticed water dripping from the bathroom ceiling.
What?
Yeah, he calls 911, realizing that Ashley's apartment may be on fire. Stephen Lee was an ex-cop who lived downstairs and diagonally across from Ashley Harris. He told police he was smoking a cigarette at 6:30 a.m. when he noticed a car in the parking lot he had never seen before. When he left for work around 7:30 a.m., the car was still there. It was a black Infiniti G35 with a faded toll sticker on its roof. Another neighbor, Jeff Kaiser, kicked in her door before firefighters arrived, calling out for her and Nala.
Oh my God.
I know. Could you imagine? I mean,
No.
I would hope that I would be a neighbor that was like
Exactly.
going to rescue my neighbor. So he says the apartment was filled with smoke and the sprinkler system was spraying water. As he calls out for Ashley from the entryway, she did not answer. He tried several times to go further by crawling into Ashley's apartment, but could only make it midway due to the smoke being too heavy and unbearable.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Fort Worth Fire Department Lieutenant Jared Pavlechko arrived on the scene around 8 a.m. He determined the source of the smoke was coming from her bedroom, So he opened the bedroom window to air it out. He saw a female body in front of the bed lying face down on the floor. When he went to touch her, he saw that her wrists and ankles were duct taped.
My God.
So fire investigator Wallace Hood with the Fort Worth Fire Department arrived on the scene around 8:45 a.m. The fire had been put out by then. He determined that multiple fires had been started, which were on the bed, in the closet, and on Ashley's body. He noted that the smoke detector had been removed and placed under the mattress. Wallace also determined that the fires most likely were lit using a lighter and rubbing alcohol, as the bottle of rubbing alcohol was found near her body.
Gosh.
So therefore, he concluded that the fire was set on purpose. Detective Cedillo wanted to search Ashley's truck, but was unable to find her keys. Ashley's friend Alexis told police that Ashley usually left her keys and wallet on her kitchen counter. The keys seemed to be the only thing missing from the apartment.
Okay.
The medical examiner determined that Ashley Harris had suffered blunt force trauma to her face and head. She had been strangled and her throat had been cut.
Oh, God.
And her body was partially burned. She was identified by her tattoos. Yes. So a little bit about Ashley. She, like I said earlier, she was an assistant manager at American Eagle at the Hewlin Mall in Fort Worth, Texas. She is described as a phenomenal employee who was loved by everyone and is said to be like the mother of the store. She had so many friends and never met a stranger. She was outgoing and was the life of the party. She lit up the room when she walked in. Most of the time she was wearing a backwards ball cap, and you can see in most of her pictures that has posted on Facebook. She was always positive, and people just wanted to be her friend. I think this also speaks to how well loved she was when you see how concerned her neighbors were for her.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of her neighbors took note and were kind of looking out the window, you know, observing the noises they were hearing.
Right. And I mean, people knew her vehicle, and I mean, it's good to know your neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, also earlier I mentioned that she is a friend of a friend. She was friends with one of my friends, Holly. I remember seeing videos and pictures of Ashley dancing at Holly's wedding in October that year.
Yeah.
And having so much fun with the biggest smile on her face. And just about a month and a half later, she was gone.
That's insane. Did you meet her?
I never met her. I didn't know her. But, I mean, I could just see that she loved life. Like, just through her videos and pictures that I saw. And
yeah.
Holly always talked about her and how much she loved her. So,
yeah, and I think they did, was it a Dateline episode on her murder? And she had so many friends. They loved her. And you could just tell that every picture that she had, she was always with a group of friends. Everybody always had their arms wrapped around her, and she just looked happy.
Yes, always smiling. So as family and friends learned about what was going on, several of them went and stood outside of Ashley's apartment waiting for answers. Alexis, the friend that saw Ashley that morning, was there, along with Ashley's boss, Chris. Alexis had told Chris that police were looking for the owner of the black Infiniti G35. He got in contact with Detective Cedillo and told him that he knows someone that drives that car. He gave the names of Clarence David Mallory, and he goes by David, and Carter Cervantes, who used to work at American Eagle with him and Ashley.
Okay.
So a little backstory on them. Cedillo found that Carter Cervantes and her boyfriend David Mallory had been suspects in an August 24th of 2014 theft at American Eagle.
Wait a minute. Carter's a girl?
Carter, yes. Carter Carol Cervantes is the girl,
Okay.
and then Clarence David Mallory
Okay. Got
is
it.
her boyfriend.
Okay, so they had a theft. Were they charged with theft?
I don't know if they were charged as of yet. So this was August, and then the murder was 3 months later. So in August, there was this theft at the American Eagle store.
Someone reported the theft, like in.
So all of the reports that I saw, it just mentioned them being fired. It didn't get into if they were charged as of yet.
Right, okay.
So the couple lived only 2 miles from Ashley's apartment. On the 24th of August, at 1:14 a.m., $18,000 was stolen from the safe in American Eagle.
Wow.
Ashley just, yeah, 18,000.
Why did they have that much in the safe? I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well,
I used to
apparently
work
what
at
they
Wet
did
Seal,
was
and we didn't have that much money on hand.
Well, I think their process was to leave it in the safe overnight. I mean, they locked the doors. There was a gate over the door inside the mall. So you would think it's in the safe. The doors are locked. The gate is locked. So Ashley discovered that Cervantes was the employee that was appointed to lock up that night and had left the back door open. Ashley identified Mallory, David Mallory, as the person who took the money from the safe in the surveillance footage. And Chris, the boss, discovered that it was Cervantes who had hired David Mallory. So are you seeing the scheme?
Yes, I'm seeing where you're going with this.
Okay. So Chris found out that Mallory had previously worked at a American Eagle store in Amarillo, which is where the couple met. They worked together at the Amarillo store. Well, Mallory was listed in the American Eagle system as non-rehirable, meaning at no American Eagle stores.
So how did she get hired?
Well, that's a good question. Well, so Mallory is David Mallory. He was the one not rehirable. But
Oh,
that's a
okay.
good question.
Yeah.
So Chris looked at Mallory's personal file and discovered that when Carter hired him, she changed his social security number in the system and his name so that no red flags would show.
Was she a manager? How did she
She
do all
yes,
this?
so she was also a manager alongside Ashley.
She was like a okay.
Sorry, I did not mention that earlier. So Ashley eventually suspended Carter. And 1 week later, Chris called Carter and told her that she had been terminated for leaving the store unsecure. And she was mad.
Well, that's what she gets.
You know, there's consequences, honey.
I mean, did she think this whole thing was going to work out for her? As if there aren't cameras and as if she wasn't the last person to lock up? I mean,
Well, I mean, this girl, just wait till later. I mean,
oh, Lord.
she doesn't have a guilty conscience, I don't think. So the investigation.
Wait a minute. I have to ask something.
Please.
What about Nala?
Nala lived.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. So I think she went to a family member
Okay.
or a friend.
Phew.
I do remember seeing that, but I did, yeah.
But she was in there
I
when
didn't write
the
down who
fire
she went
was
with, but
going and stuff.
she was in the
Oh
apartment,
my
but she was
God.
able to, as when Jeff kicked in the door, she ran out.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how scared she was? Like, she
I
probably
know.
couldn't
I
find
know.
Ashley, and oh my God, it's breaking my heart. Okay.
I know. I know. You're gonna make me cry. Quit. So around 3:45 a.m. on Saturday, so this was that Friday, so the next day, Saturday, November 29th, Detective Cedillo performed a stakeout at Carter and Mallory's apartment. He spotted the Black Infiniti in the apartment parking lot. At 7:45, he witnessed the couple leaving their apartment in the Black Infiniti.
Go on.
He followed them.
Ooh.
Where did they go?
Where did they go?
Do you want to guess?
Burger King.
No, they went to Hewlin Mall.
No.
Where the American Eagle was.
What?
So Mallory is driving. He parks. He lets Carter out. And Detective Cedillo sees Carter get out of the vehicle and enter the mall. This was at 7:45 in the morning.
Okay.
She enters the mall. She's wearing a gray sweatshirt and a black hat. Clarence then drove the car around the mall to another mall exit.
Okay.
Detective Cedillo radioed dispatch and asked to send a marked patrol car to the mall. He requested that they stop the Black Infiniti if they witnessed any type of traffic violation. Detective Cedillo entered the mall looking for Carter, but was unable to find her.
Okay.
Meanwhile, while Cedillo's in the mall looking for her, Detective Pate, Cedillo's partner, stopped Mallory in the parking lot. He told him that there was a number of car burglaries in the mall parking lot, and he wanted to ask him what he was doing there. So
right.
He asked him why he was in the parking lot so early in the morning. He claimed that he was waiting for his girlfriend who worked at Aeropostale.
Lies.
She was just inside getting some paperwork.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Not.
Detective Cedillo followed up with the Aeropostale manager, and he told police that Carter Cervantes did not work there.
Mm-hmm.
Police asked Mallory to see his driver's license, which he told them he did not have on him.
Oh, how convenient.
So, yeah, in the state of Texas, that is illegal to be driving a vehicle on public roads.
Yep.
So they arrested him.
Oh, good.
Yes, because he could not produce his driver's license. At the police station, police observed that he was wearing a ski mask. So at first, it just like it was folded up on his head like a toboggan, but they realized it was a ski mask.
What?
It looked new.
Wait, mm-hmm. So he was wearing that when the police were talking to him? Like it was on his head?
Well, that's what this report said that I read.
How obvious could you be? Why? Okay, as you were saying.
I don't know if it was cold that day. It was November, Thanksgiving. I don't know. Sometimes in Texas, it's hot on that day. Sometimes it's cold.
True.
You just never know. So they realize it was a ski mask. They say it looked new. It still had the plastic price tag fastener on it. You know, just like the plastic.
Like where it hangs
piece.
Up on the.
Yeah, where you attach the tag.
Oh, anyway. Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was no wear and tear. Police also saw that what appeared to be a fresh injury and swelling to Mallory's lip, lower
okay.
lip. Detective Cedillo went back to the couple's apartment and found Carter in the laundry room, and this time she's wearing pink scrubs.
Okay.
Totally different from what she was wearing when she went into the mall.
Right. But how did she get back home?
How did she get home?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get there in just a second.
Okay.
So he sees her in the laundry room wearing pink scrubs. He asked if she would be willing to go downtown to be interviewed, and she agreed.
Okay.
I don't know what she thought she was going down there. I don't know if he told her.
Well, and he went into her apartment and found her in the laundry room, so.
Not well. I think it was the laundry facility for the
oh, okay.
apartments had.
I thought you meant he like entered her apartment and was like, "Hey, you need to come with me." And
no,
and
like
she's
some
like,
apartments
okay.
have the laundry facilities
like,
that you can
on site, but not in the apartment. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm just trying to get all.
Yes. So. She told police that she did not leave the apartment complex at all that day.
Lies.
But see, she's a liar.
Liar.
But surveillance video confirmed that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The video showed her leaving the mall and walking towards her home.
Okay.
Police believe that she saw them talking with Mallory in the parking lot and walked home, which was about 2 miles from the mall.
Right. Okay. So she just left her boyfriend high and dry. So she
yeah.
she saw him
being talked to, and she's like,
She's in it for herself. Yeah.
Yeah, every man for themselves.
Exactly. And that's what it is in this case. So you'll see later.
Oh.
Police observed that she had superficial scratches on her arms. Wonder where she got
Ooh.
those. As police watched the mall surveillance, the video showed a person wearing a gray sweatshirt and black hat arrive at the security gate at American Eagle. The person was not able to unlock and open the gate, so she
Why?
left.
What was she doing back there, though? This is wild. She was
Out.
caught. She was caught, and then she was
Yeah.
fired, and then now she's back trying to get back in there.
She thinks she's being sneaky and sly.
Wow.
So, yeah, remember I told you that only her keys were missing from the apartment? Ashley kept the gate key and the store key on her key ring.
Oh,
So,
obvious. Idiot.
the only thing they really wanted from her was the keys to the store.
Wow, they could have just asked nicely. I don't think they had to go to those
So,
measures.
well, you never know. So, she was unable to unlock the gate. Why? Because Chris, the boss at American Eagle, he acted quickly when he heard about Ashley's murder. He went and had the locks changed
Wow, that's quick
because
thinking.
he knew that she had this. Yeah,
Yes.
smart. In fact, two American Eagle employees that were scheduled that morning to make the deposit of the proceeds from the Black Friday sales were locked out of the store because of that. So, you want to know how much the deposit was from the Black Friday event?
I'm gonna guess over 20 or 30,000.
They would have made out with $40,000 to $50,000
Wow.
if the scheme worked.
Why did they rob it when they did? Why not just wait a couple of weeks until Black Friday and then rob it?
Well,
Or just not rob it because you're a piece of crap.
they knew that the Black Friday events would have, would produce a ton of money, thousands of dollars. So, and then they knew that they don't deposit the money till the next morning.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking when they robbed it previously, why did they rob it then? Why not just say, hey,
Oh, right.
let's rob American Eagle?
Maybe they were like, it was a practice run.
Oh, that's a good point.
But yeah, I mean, they should not have done that because it tipped off everybody.
Well, this was obvious. And they're so obvious.
So, to kind of summarize or reiterate, police believe that Cervantes and Mallory killed Ashley. The couple knew that she had the keys for the safe. The plan was to take the keys and go to American Eagle store and steal the money that they knew would be there after Black Friday. They went to the store as planned on Saturday morning with the keys, but the locks had already been changed. Let's talk about the search warrants.
Let's.
On November 29th, search warrants were obtained for Cervantes and Mallory's apartment, the Black Infinity, and Mallory's Cadillac.
Okay.
Police searched their apartment. They found a plastic tub that contained bungee cords and a rope. They found a lock in a kitchen drawer, and I hate that word, drawer.
A drawer.
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 And a taser box, and
What?
duct tape in the trash. So the police also found a damaged deadbolt lock and two other locks that were labeled, quote unquote, lock picking practice lock.
Oh, f
So just in case they couldn't get the key,
Wow.
they practice. I'm sure that was maybe for the safe. I don't know.
Right.
Police searched the Black Infinity and found a plastic bag inside a black trash bag, a sharpening stone for a knife, a 9mm cartridge, a cell phone, a walkie-talkie, and a buck knife with a sheath. Also, they found a toboggan with a hole cut in it, a tarp still inside the package, and a kitchen knife. A loaded Glock 19 with a bullet in the chamber was found under the driver's seat.
That was all in the car?
That was in the Infiniti.
Oh my God.
They found another set of car keys in the Infiniti, and that went to Mallory's Cadillac. So they searched that. They found two shovels.
What?
A box of plastic sheeting and a box of Craftsman sockets. Two shovels.
What?
Police conducted a second search on the apartment on December 4th and found a key in the kitchen trash can. The key opened the dressing room and storage closet at Hewlin Mall, American Eagle.
Oh, okay.
This key was not found in the trash can in the first search.
Right.
Mallory and Cervantes were both charged with capital murder. Mm-hmm. The state waived their right to seek the death penalty and instead looked for life in prison with parole, without parole, excuse me.
Okay.
And they both pled not guilty.
Right.
Because they did not think they were guilty.
More lies.
The prosecution's case was that they had a couple of motive points to want to harm Ashley. One, they wanted the keys to steal the money. And two, they wanted revenge because they felt that Ashley was responsible for them losing their jobs.
Yep.
Chris, Ashley's boss, testified that the couple would have known that Ashley identified Mallory and informed Chris of the theft.
Yeah.
Mallory's cell phone showed text messages that contained coordinates to a specific location near Looters, Texas. Detective Cedillo went to that location and found what looked like a human grave.
What?
It was a hole in the ground approximately 6 feet long, 2.5 feet wide, and 3 feet deep.
Oh my God.
So the prosecutors also believed that the couple planned on taking Ashley at gunpoint and killing her somewhere else. However, Ashley put up a big fight. She fought for her life. And
she beat the crap out of her.
Yeah, she fought for her life and she did not give up easily.
Mm-hmm.
The autopsy showed reports of multiple bruises. There was no evidence or injuries on Harris's body suggesting that a taser had been used.
Okay.
So that's a plus. A star-shaped laceration with a surrounding bruise behind her left ear, which was consistent with having been pistol whipped.
Oh.
The sample of Harris's body that was tested was negative for carbon monoxide, which indicated that Harris was not alive when the fire was set. Thank God. So the deputy medical examiner concluded that Harris's cause of death was asphyxia and blunt force trauma to the head and neck. So let's get into the trial. At Carter's trial, she testified that she was not involved in Ashley's death.
Liar. Nope.
She told the jury that she was afraid of Mallory and that he controlled her and even told her, and he even told her when she could eat or drink.
Okay.
She admitted that it was her that tried to get into the American Eagle store, but claimed she only did it because Mallory threatened to kill her if she didn't. Okay. And that the grave they found was for her if she didn't do it.
Okay.
She said that he held the gun up to her and told her to do it, and that he also claimed there was somebody waiting outside of her parents' home, and they would be killed also if she didn't steal the money.
Not buying it.
No. She claimed that when Ashley was murdered, that she was in bed asleep and she didn't know where Mallory went. Well, the jury didn't buy it either. They didn't believe
right.
her. On May 26th of 2016, 2 years later, Carter Carol Cervantes, at 27 years old, was found guilty of capital murder. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Good.
At Mallory's trial, He claimed that he was not involved in Ashley's murder and that it was all Carter. She was the mastermind.
Okay. Did she also tell him when to eat or drink?
Didn't get into that, but so, you know, Carter was, we'll post pictures on Instagram too, but she, at her trial, she looks like this frail little girl. She was 27 at the time, but she's very small. And Ashley, she would not have been able to overpower Ashley and strangle her.
No.
Definitely, that would have been a job for Mallory, David. So the jury didn't believe his story either. And in August of 2016, Clarence David Mallory, at the age of 22, was found guilty of murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Charles Cassidy, Harris's Ashley Harris's stepfather, he spoke at the trial or of the trial and the outcome. He says, our personal preference would have been that they both would have been executed, but the state made the decision to not pursue the death penalty. He said the overall lack of criminal history and Mallory's age at the time of the crime was committed, contributed to that decision, he's sure. So Ashley did get justice. She was a beautiful person. I'm sorry that she went through that, but she fought for her life and she got justice. And this is just another case where the detectives did quick work and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
I mean, quick thinking for Chris, the manager.
Yes, so smart.
It feels like everything fell into place. She had so many people that were on high alert for her that everything just fell into place. And you know what I think? As you're talking and you're talking about what their plans actually were for her, if they had overpowered Ashley and for some strange reason got her out that door alive and taken her somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I just wonder how this might have turned out. Like, I wonder if they would have found all that evidence or if they would have already gotten rid of the evidence, because that was...
Well, if they took her outside, I mean, her neighbors, there was a neighbor outside smoking at 6:30.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he would have seen something going on.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I'm not leaving my dog, you stupid piece of crap.
Right.
No, you're not taking me out of here.
Well, I would like to think that I would fight hard like she did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone tried to, I mean, nobody's going to try to take me anyways, because I try to keep a low profile. I try to dress down. You know what I mean? Like, I try to make sure that at all times I am not kidnappable or appealing to anyone.
Right, right.
But if someone came across me and they were like, I want to take her.
Gotcha.
They would for sure get their eyes clawed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really scrappy.
Yeah. I believe it.
I know it don't look like much, but I'd have their DNA in my fingernails, their hair. I mean, I would spit on them and pee on them.
Oh, I...
I pee on them.
Yes, I know. I've heard you say this a few times, that you already have this plan.
I have this plan. Like, I used to walk to my car from school because I had late night classes in college. And I used to walk to my car with a full bladder. And it made for a very uncomfortable ride home. But I have to tell you, if I had been napped, somebody would have gotten peed on, like a lot of pee.
For sure.
Like a full bladder of pee. I saw that on Oprah once when I was a kid.
Really?
Mom was watching. Yeah. She was watching Oprah and this lady got attacked in the park and the guy tried to rape her and she peed on him and he ran away. So I've always thought of that.
That's a tactic.
Kept that in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that's one reason we tell these stories, to, you know, just have some tips and tricks.
Nobody ever anticipates, unless you're me, an absolute catastrophe happening.
You got to be on your toes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was a good one. I remember when this happened, and I remember Holly posting about it on Facebook, and this was shocking It was so shocking that someone like a 2 degrees of knowing someone who was brutally murdered, something you see on the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it really happened. It actually happened.
Right.
So thank you for telling it. I think her family would be proud.
I hope so. I hope I did honor her and her family. So,
yes.
But thank y'all for listening, and hope you come back for more.
Yeah, we'll post pictures on Instagram.
Yes.
At Cousins on Crime Podcast.
Yes. And then we have, if you would like to email us suggestions or comments, our email is, what is it, Candace?
CousinsOnCrime@gmail.com.
All right. Come back next week, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.